We have come now to the year 66 in our survey of the deteriorating relationship between the Romans and the Jews. This is a pivotal year. This is a climactic year. This is the year in which Jesus' major prophecy in the Olivet Discourse starts coming to the forefront. This is about 33 years into the life of the Church of Jesus Christ. All but one of the apostles of the Lamb seem to have given their lives for the faith by this time. The only one still up there and standing is John the Apostle, whose writings we're going to go back to once we finish this survey. This is how it happened. In the year 66, the procurator of the Jewish lands was a man by the name of Florus, who was blatantly grafting the people and organizations of his assigned place. And so at Passover of 66, the legate of Syria, who'd probably been hearing complaints, came to Jerusalem for a state visit. And the leadership complained about Florus to the legate Gallus, whose first name is the one we know better, Cestius, right in front of Florus, complained all about him. Florus tried to laugh the whole thing off. He thought they were out of, you know, they were overreacting and they were misinterpreting things that he'd been doing. But Cestius told the Jewish leadership and the Jewish people publicly that Florus was going to do better in the future. Once the Passover was finished, Cestius went down to Caesarea on the coast to catch a ship back to Syria, back to Antioch. Once he was gone, Florus immediately started working on a way to get the Jewish people to openly revolt against him and therefore against Rome, because his intention was that if they were in open revolt, anything that he had done might be forgotten in dealing with that insurrection. And he was concerned that there would soon be official complaints sent to Nero. Now, just for the record, Josephus's Antiquities of the Jews ends at this point. And that's the one that takes from the very beginning of creation onward, so that the readers, particularly Gentile readers, could understand the Jewish people a little bit better. He actually wrote that quite a few years after the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the independent or semi-independent Jewish state. But his Wars of the Jews really starts to shine at this point. So if you are interested in all the fine details of the final battles between the Romans and the Jews, go and read Josephus's Wars. But let's just stick with the highlights for our own purposes here. When the second month of the Jewish year came around in 66, so we're talking about the middle of April and then the beginning of May, the Caesarian Greeks had managed to convince Nero in their appeal that they should be the primary governors of the city of Caesarea on the coast. You may remember that there was a debate as to whose city was Caesarea. It was built by Herod the Great, who was Jewish, but he included a lot of Gentile temples and buildings, and so they said it's a Gentile city. Well, it was this city that Josephus describes as being the ignition point for the war. There was a Caesarian Gentile landlord who permitted the Jewish people to rent one of his properties as a synagogue. He wouldn't let them buy it outright. He simply rented it. And he now decided to let other buildings be built all around this rental property that was being used as a synagogue. And by doing this, he narrowed the access, the public access to the front door to the synagogue. On the Friday before the Sabbath began at sunset, on the 11th day of the second Jewish month, the Jewish leadership of Caesarea and of Judea went to Florus and bribed him with 8 talents, which is equivalent to several million dollars, to intervene in the dispute that the Jews were having with this landlord. Well, Florus took the money, and then he left town without doing anything about it. On the following day, the Sabbath day, it's basically the 26th of April, a Gentile came to that narrow access point and killed 2 doves on the top of an upturned pot, a pottery pot, right there in the middle of the path, which effectively made it impossible for Jewish people to get past this without touching it, which would make them unclean for their Sabbath day service. But it was bigger than that. You see, killing 2 doves in association with a pot and some water was a Jewish way of purifying yourself after leprosy had been cleansed out of your life. This was a reference to an ancient anti-Semitic trope that all the Jews had been forced out of Egypt because they had leprosy. And that's what the Exodus really was about. Now, of course, when the Jews realized they could not get to their synagogue, they were very upset. And there was fighting between them and the Gentiles nearby. And it wasn't until a Roman official, he was the head of the military there at Caesarea, came and removed the pot and the 2 dead birds that they could actually get into their synagogue. Now, once they got into their synagogue and the fighting was still kind of going on, a couple of the Jews decided that they needed to rescue the holy scrolls, the written out scrolls that we know of as the Old Testament. There were 22 of them for the Jewish people. And so they grabbed them and they took them away to another city because they felt that this place had now become unclean and not viable as a worship site. Probably on the next day, the leadership who had bribed Florus and got nothing for it followed him over to Sebaste, which is the Herodian name for Samaria. And they went there to complain to him about all of this. And one of the things they complained about was we had to remove the scrolls from the synagogue and take them farther away in order to preserve their sanctity. The moment he heard that, he arrested them for breaking a Roman law from Augustus's time that was originally intended to protect Jewish sacred scrolls. Let me read to you from the Book of Antiquities, where Josephus actually recorded the original law. This is what it says, quote, "If anyone be caught stealing their holy books or their sacred money, whether it be out of the synagogue or public school, he shall be deemed a sacrilegious person, and his goods shall be brought into the public treasury of the Romans," end quote. So you can see what Florus is doing here. He's actually turning Roman laws on their heads in order to provoke these Jewish people into outright rebellion. Didn't quite get it done yet, so he continued. On the next day, apparently the 14th of the second Jewish month, he confiscated 17 talents out of the temple treasury. That's roughly $20 million. And he said that this was for Emperor Nero. And this brings about the inevitable protests from the Jewish people, which is exactly what Florus is looking for. And one of the things that they do is some of them are going around with a begging basket, asking people, alms for Florus, put some coins in for Florus. He's so poor, he needs it. And they were clearly mocking the procurator for his recent stealing of Jewish temple funds. So on the 16th day of the second Jewish month, Florus is at Jerusalem now, and he orders that those mockers be turned over to him for punishment. Now, the Jewish leadership, who's trying to keep things calm, begged him to understand that they could not identify with any specificity who it was that had been mocking him. And besides, he should consider that these are just a bunch of young hotheads who didn't know better. Well, Florus responded to that by ordering his troops to use violence and go into the upper marketplace, which is in the western and the north part of the western side of Jerusalem. And 3,600 Jews ended up being killed in that action. And not a few of the people affected were Jewish Roman citizens of high standing. They were, some of them, caught and beaten, and others were caught, beaten, and then crucified, all of which is a direct violation of their Roman rights. Queen Bernice was in town. Remember, the second month is going to be between the Passover festivals of the first month and the Pentecost observances at the beginning of the third month. So she had been there for Passover, probably with her brother, King Agrippa II, during Passover. King Agrippa then took off to Egypt in order to congratulate a Jewish man, be he secular, but a Jewish man that had just been declared the prefect, the Roman prefect of all of Egypt. But Queen Bernice stayed around in Jerusalem and was going through some sort of Jewish vow ceremony, which required her to go barefoot. Now, we don't know exactly what this vow is. It's certainly not something from the Old Testament. It must be something more traditional of the Pharisees. But when she's hearing about all of this going on in the north part of the western side of Jerusalem, she's sending her representatives over to Florus as a queen and saying, you need to stop this. You need to get your people in control. You need to knock this off because they are violating the religious and Roman rights of these people. He continued to ignore all her representatives. So she went over there to talk to him herself. And he had his people try to attack her. And she barely got out, thanks to her security detail. She goes back to her own palace on the west side of town, and she locks herself in and waits for all of this craziness to pass. The following day, on the 17th day of the second month, the Jewish people gathered in the ruined upper city marketplace to mourn the deaths of all the people that had been killed there the day before. The Jewish leadership are begging these people, don't riot. No matter what he does, don't riot. And then they go and talk to Florus. And Florus says, the only way you can convince me that your people are not in outright rebellion is that they need to welcome with great politeness and excitement the next two cohorts of soldiers that are on their way here right now. A cohort is basically 600 soldiers plus all the support personnel. So we're talking about 1,200 plus people. 1,200 plus soldiers are on their way to kind of back him up on what he's trying here. So the high priest, the Jewish leadership, along with the Levitical musicians, they gather all of the people to the main decorated towered gate that's right in front of the temple building itself. This is the court of women that they gather everybody into. And they show them all the sacred items. They show them the high priest uniform. They show them the musical instruments. And they say, listen, if we fall into a riot, the Romans are going to come in here and these things are going to end up being taken away from us. Don't let that happen. Just go up and welcome these newest Roman soldiers to town peacefully. Keep your mouth shut about anything else, because how does that hurt you? How do they gain anything by us being polite? And so they agreed, the crowd agreed, and so they went out, but they did not know that Florus had already sent messengers to his cohorts that when they arrived the next day, no matter what the Jewish people said to them politely, they were not to respond whatsoever in a polite fashion. They were supposed to be totally stone-faced and ignore all the greetings. But the moment one Jewish person said something nasty to them, or said something nasty about Romans or about particularly Florus, they were to light into them with their clubs and treat them like rioters. Well, the next day, the 18th day of the first Jewish month, which was the preparation day for Sabbath, it's a Friday, the Romans arrive at the new gate, the new city gate area on the north side of Jerusalem. They're actually not very far from where I believe the authentic Golgotha was located. And when the Romans don't acknowledge the peaceful greetings, a bunch of younger Jewish guys start talking down about Florus. And so the soldiers light into them with the clubs. Some of the officers start chasing people away using their horses, and a stampede occurs, and a whole bunch of Jewish people end up dead. Now, Florus tried to march these two new cohorts into the Tower of Antonia, which was where Romans were stationed when they came to Jerusalem. They were there as part of a security detail to keep overwatch on the Jerusalem Temple Mount. They were actually supposed to be backing up the Jewish security temple forces. But when the Jews, who were now very upset about everything that's been happening to them, realized what was going on, they got up on the roofs of all the houses in this built-up area, heading toward the Tower of Antonia front entrance, and they start showering the soldiers down on the narrow streets below with all sorts of missiles. They're throwing rocks at them. Some of them are using sling stones and things like that. And so Florus orders his troops to divert westward and join him in the established camp that he already had at the upper palace on the west side of town. The Jewish people, having seen that what Florus was doing was trying to reinforce the number of Roman soldiers at the Antonia Tower, which probably would have brought it up to well over 2,000 soldiers that might have been there through this. When they realized that his goal was to use the Tower of Antonia as an access point to the temple, these Jews, or at least some of these Jews, went to the Tower of Antonia, excuse me, not the Tower of Antonia, but went into the porticos on the north side of the Temple Mount, and they broke down the bridges that connected the Tower of Antonia to the temple complex. Now, this looks different, the way I'm describing this, than to a lot of the presentations of the Tower of Antonia's connection to the Temple Mount. I believe that they were never sharing the same wall. I believe that the Tower of Antonia was a separate complex with a major road between the south wall of the Tower of Antonia and the north wall of the temple. And that these bridges were the convenient access point for the security forces moving from one to the other. And so by breaking down these bridges, they guaranteed that there would be no easy access for Roman soldiers into the temple complex. Now, that brings us then probably to the next day, the 19th, Sabbath day. Florus realizes now, having got the report about the breaking down of the tower access points, he's not going to be able to finish his plan of taking over Jerusalem and the temple from the Jews because they were revolting. So he brings the high priest and Sanhedrin to himself. He tells them, I'm going to go back to Caesarea, and you guys need to get things under control. And he says, I will leave as many Roman troopers here as you think you might need to bring these insurrectionists to heel. They agreed to keep a cohort of Roman soldiers, so 600 soldiers plus their support personnel. But they all insisted, we don't want any of the soldiers that were just involved in the whole upper marketplace debacle or in this fight that happened in the New City region near the Tower of Antonia. Only give us people that weren't directly involved in those things. And so he agreed, and then he and his two reinforcement cohorts left, and left one cohort camp that would back up the Sanhedrin, and another cohort that was probably already stationed at the Antonio Tower. Immediately, Florus wrote a letter to Legate Cestius of Syria accusing the Jews of insurrection. The Jewish leadership, including the high priest and Queen Bernice, sent their own letters of accusation to Cestius about Florus. And so when he receives these dueling reports, Cestius up in Syria has to determine who's giving him the more accurate picture. So what he does is this. He sends one of his most trustworthy tribunes. So that's a top military officer. Tribune means commander over 1,000+ men. So he tells Neapolitanus, I need you to go on an immediate mission to Judea and assess the situation there. Because I don't want to go down there with a whole bunch of military forces if it's not needed. And so that is what Neapolitanus does. Now, interestingly enough, he does not go straight to Jerusalem. He probably goes straight to Caesarea and somehow gets a report that King Agrippa II, who is a Roman citizen, and who is Jewish, and who is the custodian of the Temple Mount. He appoints the high priest. He's on his way back from Egypt. And that's what Neapolitanus does, is he tracks down King Agrippa at a city called Yamnia, and they together are going to evaluate the situation at Jerusalem. And so that is where we will leave it today, since we have run out of time. Tomorrow we will come back and finish talking about the flashpoint that blew up into the Jewish war.